next case, which is Edwards v. Snyder. Mr. Klein?
May it please the Court. The issue on appeal is very straightforward. Does the pro se complaint allege that a prison physician acted with deliberate indifference to Mr. Edwards' medical needs? The answer to that question has to be yes. Paragraph 57 of the complaint expressly alleges that Dr. Ruiz acted with callous indifference to Mr. Edwards' medical needs by refusing to send him to the emergency room for immediate medical treatment of a serious injury, an open dislocation. And just to be clear, what we're talking about here is an injury where the bone protruded from the skin. In paragraph 59 of the complaint, Mr. Edwards goes on and alleges that Dr. Ruiz's decision was based on non-medical reasons. Specifically, because the injury occurred on New Year's Eve, Dr. Ruiz did not want the injury to disrupt his New Year's celebrations, so he delayed medical treatment for 48 hours. Finally, in paragraph 59, Mr. Edwards alleges that the delay caused unnecessary pain and suffering, not only during the 48-hour period, but more importantly, the delay caused permanent disfigurement. These allegations, which of course must be accepted as true, satisfy the elements of a deliberate indifference claim. And under the liberal notice pleading standards and the liberal pleading standards pertaining to pro se litigants, the allegations satisfy the elements of a deliberate indifference claim and cannot be deemed frivolous.
How does this apply, however, to all the other defendants in this case?
I'm sorry, apply to...
How do these allegations in the complaint apply to non-frivolous thing as to the other parties to the lawsuit, not Dr. Ruiz, but the rest of them?
Well, we did on appeal, Your Honor. Again, it was a pro se complaint. Is we focused count one, which is deliberate indifference, on Dr. Ruiz. The other defendants are still defendants in count two, which is a negligence claim. The district court never held that the negligence claim was frivolous. It just held, I don't have jurisdiction because count one is dismissed. So what we're arguing is that count one should be reinstated as to Dr. Ruiz. Count two should be reinstated as to the remaining defendants because jurisdiction will return once count one is reinstated.
So you're not asking for reinstatement of count one as against any of the other prison officials?
That's correct.
And if it would go back, you're contending there's a legitimate negligence claim against all the other defendants?
Well, Your Honor, to be quite candid, if the claim were remanded, it's very possible that Mr. Edwards would voluntarily drop some of the defendants. Again, he was a pro se litigant. I don't know if I would represent him on a remand, but my hunch is whether I represented him, someone else did, or he did it pro se, some of these defendants would not reappear. If the court has no questions, then I'll reserve my remaining time for rebuttal.
Thank you. Ms. Welsh?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. We're here as an amicus on behalf of the district to defend the district court's decision that this complaint should be dismissed with prejudice as frivolous. Your Honor, while it's true that the plaintiff has alleged that that Dr. Ruiz, and again, the appeal is, as we understand it, confined to the dismissal as to Dr. Ruiz only, and that the plaintiff has waived every other defendant claims against the Eighth Amendment claims against all other defendants. It's true that the plaintiff did allege that Dr. Ruiz was deliberately indifferent to his medical needs. But just like the plaintiff in Estelle, in the Supreme Court case in Estelle, and just like the plaintiff in the Seventh Circuit case in Chiarglini, I think is how you say it, the plaintiff pled too much because to his complaint he attached the medical records. And there we see a complete record of all the medical treatment that he received. And so we need
The two-day delay is the heart of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just asserting that that's frivolous. You don't really have any authority to assert that. But you're just saying a two-day delay is a frivolous claim, right?
Well, like the district court, Your Honor, what we're saying is that this complaint, if a reasonable jury looked at this complaint with its attachments, it is hopelessly incapable of being amended in order to revive this claim. Because when you look at exactly what he did, now Dr. Ruiz made the correct diagnosis within 2 hours. Dr. Ruiz,
it's not very hard to diagnose a dislocation of a finger, I wouldn't think.
Well, but there might have been additional problems, and the x-ray revealed that there were not. So,
as I understand it, the first thing you do is pop the bone back into the joint. That's what any competent physician would do, as I understand it.
Well, no, there had to be.
And that's not a very elaborate piece of surgery to start with. But
no, there had to be a reduction, which is a surgical procedure. It's not just, pulling it back and putting it together.
What kind of surgical procedure? I mean, it's surgical to pop a bone back into a joint, I suppose, but it's not a very demanding one.
No, but there's a certain amount of reduction.
If you don't do it promptly, then the thing swells up and you have inflammation and you have all kinds of exacerbations. So why is this a frivolous matter not to do it right off the bat?
Well, Your Honor, regardless of whether it's frivolous, certainly no reasonable jury could find that the district court's decision can be affirmed because he failed to state a claim. I mean, deliberate indifference means that no reasonable physician would make the same decision. And here, plaintiff attached also the response to his grievances. And the grievances were reviewed by two other physicians, Dr. Aliyah and Dr. Warford, and both of them said, we see no inadequate treatment claim here. So you don't even have a disagreement among physicians about this. And we know that a disagreement among physicians doesn't rise to the level of an Eighth Amendment claim. You need more than that.
There might be a disagreement among physicians, depending upon what an expert physician retained by the plaintiff, if this case goes back to the district court, might opine upon review of the records in this case. So you're asking us to draw factual or make factual findings in the context of reviewing a preliminary screening decision.
No, Your Honor, we're not, because even if he found 100 doctors to disagree, I mean, if you have a disagreement among physicians about proper treatment, that kind of disagreement isn't doesn't rise to the level
We've got more than that, though, here.
He
has alleged that treatment was delayed for 2 days because of a non-medical reason.
Right, but, Your Honor,
why isn't that enough to survive the preliminary screening on a deliberate indifference claim?
Because the standard for an Eighth Amendment violation is that the treatment has to be so inadequate that no reasonable doctor would agree that this was correct. I mean, that's the kind of thing that happened in Duncan, where you have a 6-month delay in the correct diagnosis and then a year before you have the treatment that's been ordered.
Make those determinations on preliminary screening.
No, Your Honor, but that was made in Estelle. That's the determination that was made in Estelle. That's the determination that this court made in Cagliani.
Of course, these physicians didn't see the patient either, did they?
I'm sorry?
These physicians did not examine the patient.
No, but they did what any expert would do, is review the records and see what happened. And that's exactly what these doctors did here. When you have an inmate...
I mean, it's alleged here that the patient's finger was out of... He lost, what was it, some percentage of range of motion.
Right, right. But that can,
which
I mean...
may have been, I don't know. We don't know what the facts are, but it may have been attributable to the fact that the bones were not put into alignment promptly.
Right, and I'm not saying that the plaintiff doesn't have a Med-Mal case. What I'm saying is that the plaintiff, which actually he didn't claim because he didn't have the affidavit that Illinois requires to attach to a Med-Mal complaint, but what I'm saying is that even if he has a Med-Mal complaint, that medical malpractice complaint, that is a medical malpractice...
Yeah, well, that might be the case, except that his reason for not realigning the bones was that he wanted to continue the holiday for 2 days. Before he got back to treating the patient.
Even if that's true, and I don't know that the plaintiff has personal knowledge of that, but let's say that that's true.
Well, that's what's alleged here.
What's alleged, and I'm not sure that he will say that he has personal knowledge or that that will be true, but let's say that that's true. Again, the question is not motivation, but whether any reasonable physician would make the same decision to delay it. And remember, what Dr. Ruiz's decision was based on was a concern about infection. And Dr. Ruiz said, I am waiting.
Well, he made some note to that effect, but
right.
We don't know whether he's alleging that to be the
case
or not.
And plaintiff, you know, and plaintiff said he was concerned about infection, and that's why, remember, plaintiff got antibiotics for 2 days. He was in the healthcare unit for 2 days. This is all per Dr. Ruiz. He was given Tylenol with codeine for pain. He said on the next morning he was and every time he requested it, the first day he was given it. The second day he said, oh, I feel better. The pain's not so bad. And then he also says, I slept, the pain is better, the pain's not so bad at present. And all of these are in the notes that the plaintiff attached to his complaint. So again, you have to look not just at his allegations, but at the entire complaint, including the attachments. And the attachments, of course, control over the allegations. So when you look at the entire complaint, when you look at his entire course of treatment, this case is just like Estelle, where the court affirmed the dismissal of a complaint. If plaintiff had stopped at his complaint, this would be a harder case.
No, but the allegation is essentially that my hand was injured because the doctor wanted to go to a New Year's Eve party.
Right, right. And that's
hardly a medical reason for doing anything, it seems.
Right, but the question isn't really the reason. The question is, would any other doctor have made the decision to delay the treatment for 2 days? Remember, the diagnosis was correct. The X-ray confirmed the diagnosis. Two other doctors have, in the attachments, agree that the treatment was adequate. So did Dr. Gupta. Every doctor, according to plaintiff's complaint, agrees that the treatment was adequate. So all you have here,
those opinions were given in the context of grievances.
Correct.
So you're asking us to hold that conclusive on a factual issue at preliminary screening stage.
What I'm asking the court to say is, when you look at the complaint, when you look at every bit of treatment that the plaintiff received, diagnosis, correct diagnosis within 2 hours, pain medication, Tylenol with codeine, antibiotics, X-ray that confirmed the diagnosis 2 days later, surgery, the proper treatment to correct the
injury. Were these other
injury.
Physicians asked a specific question? Was it proper to wait for 2 days before popping the bones back into proper alignment?
Yes, that was the thrust of the plaintiff's grievance, which is in the record and attached to his complaint.
I don't think they ever asked him that question, these other doctors. They just put some paperwork in front of them and they rubber stamped.
No, Your Honor, the grievance, remember, it wasn't just denied without, the grievance was sent to the health care administrator. The grievance, you know, the department took it very seriously, and it looked at everything, and the doctors were asked, is the plaintiff's grievance about the delay in treatment correct? Was this an adequate treatment? And the doctors came back and said no. So again, this is just like Estelle. This is just like Chiarpaglini. You have to look at everything the plaintiff alleges, and when the detailed factual account states a course of treatment, and the plaintiff just disagrees with that course of treatment, the plaintiff fails to state a cause of action, and indeed, as the district court found, it was frivolous. If the court has no questions, we ask that you affirm, because again, plaintiff's disagreement about his treatment does not rise to the level of an Eighth Amendment violation. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wells. And Mr. Klein, how long? You have 6 minutes, Mr. Klein.
I will hopefully be briefer than that. I have 3 points to address fairly quickly. The first one is in connection with the alleged grievances or the grievance that was filed in the alleged findings by physicians that Dr. Ruiz made the right decision. The pertinent page in the record is 853, and that document signed by only one physician makes absolutely no mention of the 48-hour delay. So just to be clear, there's nothing in the record to indicate that any other physician said Dr. Ruiz did the right thing by not sending Mr. Edwards to the emergency room. So that's point number one. Point number two is there is a notation to the effect of that Dr. Ruiz was concerned about infections, so that's why he delayed, coincidentally, 48 hours, just the length of the holiday. A couple points about that. The first one is we're not sure whether that document is authentic. There's a wrong date on it. It's dated December 30th. The injury occurred on December 31st. I have no idea when that document was prepared, whether Dr. Ruiz ever signed it. So it hasn't been authenticated, so it certainly can't be relied on to dismiss a complaint with prejudice. And second, this court has repeatedly held that similar circumstances do not warrant dismissal in this screening procedure. In the Wynn case, the court held, even if it's more likely than not that it's just negligence, that's not enough. In the Duncan case, if it's unclear as to what caused the delay, whether it's deliberate indifference or something else, that's not enough to dismiss the complaint. In the Sandville case, if there's a question as to the state of mind of the actor, then that too raises a factual question. Dismissal would be improper. And more significantly, there are two summary judgment cases, Gill and Greeno, where the court held that even if there is a possible alternative explanation, or even if the plaintiff did receive some treatment, that's not necessarily enough to dismiss the complaint. And the final point I wanted to raise is that the key issue here is the subjective intent of the state actor, not whether he made the right decision or not. That's clearly a factual issue. Since the allegations allege that Dr. Ruiz acted with the requisite state of mind, that ends the inquiry. As a result, we ask that the court reverse.
In this attachment, as you say, it doesn't mention the 48. What do they say, that the treatment was appropriate ultimately?
All it says is Dr. Ruiz had already started initial care. Patient was referred to the orthopedic physician for follow-up. The rest of the document just states the facts as to what happened. He jammed and injured his hand. Dr. Ruiz was contacted but decided not to send the patient to the ER for evaluation. He saw the patient on such and such a date. It's just factual. Thank you.
Thank you.